Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Talking Football Podcast. My name's Derek Clark, and each week I bring you an in-depth interview of some of the top figures of the game. We've had some cracking guests on so far. Remember, you can catch them all on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and also Podbean as well. This week's guest is a Danish striker who played at Euro 96 and Euro 2000 and is best remembered for his time at Middlesbrough, playing alongside the likes of Juninho, Ravanelli and Emerson. It is, of course, Mikael Beck. So sit back and enjoy this week's edition of the Talking Football Podcast. Welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Talking Football Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by former Danish striker, Middlesbrough forward and Derby, of course. It's Mikael Beck. Mikael, thanks very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
There's so much to talk about, a very colourful career that you had, kicking back all the way back to when you were born, 1973, in Aarhus in Denmark. What was life like growing up back then?
Yeah, it was nice and safe upbringing. Denmark is a small but very safe country, you know. And I was brought up in a nice family, and my father, former footballer as well. So my upbringing had a lot to do with football, of course. That's probably also why it wasn't a big surprise that I took a lot of interest into football and ended up becoming a professional player and playing for my country, which was always my dream, of course.
Yeah, certainly. Your father, you mentioned there, was a professional footballer, so I guess he was a role model, perhaps, or helped you to become the player that you did become.
Well, of course, he taught me lots of things as a kid, yeah, and trained me and did everything which fathers normally do. I have a kid myself today, well now, and I do the same with him. Also, I try to take interest in his of course school first and foremost, but also in his football. And I try to train him and teach him and help him with good advice. So hopefully one day when he grows up, he will be as lucky as I to make it, to make football into a living. It's not very easy. There's lots of kids who want to become footballers, so it's not so easy. But hopefully it'll be okay for him as well.
Yeah, we known you as a striker. We did you always play as a centre forward, Mikael, or did you play other positions growing up?
All my youth years, I played as an attacking midfielder. So I wasn't a striker as a kid, but. My first coach as a senior put me up there and just thought I had the right profile to play as an out and out striker, and basically I never looked back after that. The number nine position was given to me as a senior player, not as a youth player.
Yeah, and you started your career is it Colding? Is that correct? Is that the
Colding.
How did you find out? How did they pick you up? Did they scout you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I played in a smaller suburb to Colding until I was 15 years old, and then I was always asked if I wouldn't want to join the big club in Colding. But my dad always said to me that it's better to stay in the smaller club as long as you can compete with the big ones and then you can always join the big club, when you can't compete anymore. So I chose to join Colling at a point where my old team in the smaller club couldn't really keep up with the big club anymore. So I joined them and I stayed there for a couple of seasons before I went to Odense and finally became a pro. So.
Yeah, and can you remember your debut in your first game with Odense?
I don't know if I can remember the first game. I can remember the first half season. That's where I became a pro, and I started playing in the Premier League in Denmark. So I remember that first season. I cannot remember my first game.
Yeah, and I mean, you moved to Germany in Cologne in 1993. How did that move all come about?
Well, my club in Odense basically went bust. They didn't have any money anymore, and so all of us players, we were basically free to go somewhere else. And I was at that time playing for the under-21 national team of Denmark, and of course had a profile that interested other clubs. And I had one of my teammates in at Odense. He had just signed for this club in Germany, Cologne, and he was basically asked by the coach if he knew a young and talented striker in Denmark, and he recommended me, and basically that's how I ended up in Cologne.
Yeah, so, did you find that the German football a bit different to the Danish football you're used to?
Yeah, I mean it was a higher level, of course. The German football was a higher level, and I learned so much in my 3 years in Germany. I played in the second league in Germany, which is a very difficult league. It's actually, I think it's more difficult to play in that league than in the Premier League. A little bit like in England, you know, where sometimes you say that the championship is a harder league than the Premier League, because in the Premier League there's more technique, where in the championship it's more fight and you know, like how it is. Yeah. So I learned a lot in those 3 years in the second Bundesliga. All I learned there basically brought that with me throughout my career. So I had three really good years in Cologne. I liked it there.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, during those 3 years, you managed to get your first call up to the Denmark national side as well. You must have been very proud to get that first call up.
Of course, I was. I was playing with the under-21 national team of Denmark, and was doing really well there. So it was a question about you know, an injury or whatever to one of the players from the first, from the senior national team that I needed to maybe get my chance. And I remember it came at a game against Finland where Michael Laudrup had to pull out because of an injury, and then I was called up instead of him and basically scored in my debut with Denmark, and then that career was basically on the roll. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you mentioned there Michael Laudrup. You played with both Laudrup brothers. How was it to play amongst them two?
Well, it was amazing, of course. At that time, they were some of the best players in the world. And for me to play in front of those two was a dream come true, basically. They were very nice guys and helped me settle in very quickly. And then, of course, afterwards also helped me, you know, provide a lot of great passes. I just had to show them where I wanted the ball, and then you could be sure to get the ball, you know. So they were great players, you know, and I enjoyed a lot playing with them.
Yeah, did they give you sort of any advice or anything, Michael, when you were with the national team?
Not really. You know, things were just rolling. You know, we had a really good team at that time, you know, I showed pretty quickly that I could help the team, although I was young, but I could help the team. We talked a lot, but you know, it wasn't like you know, them giving me advice all the time. It was just like, of course, like you know, as teammates, you know, as you talk, you know. So
yeah, I mean, Euro 96, you were at that tournament as well. It must have been, I mean, it wasn't so good for Denmark in the main, but you played in England. So how much did you enjoy playing in that tournament?
Yeah, I enjoyed playing in the 96 Euros, but also in the 2000 Euros. I mean, we were very close in post tournaments not in the 2000, but in the 96, we were actually close to going through, because, I mean, I remember, I think we won one, we drew one, and then we lost one. Yeah, so it was about, I think it was a question about goal difference in the end that made us not qualify. But anyway, it was a great tournament. You know, football is big in England, and that tournament was certainly big as well. Yeah, so it was very interesting to play.
Yeah, it certainly was. And off the back of that, of course, you got the move to Middlesbrough. It was a very exciting time, of course, for Middlesbrough back then. How did that move come about? I guess did you just spot you playing in the Euro 96?
No, I think they spotted me before the Euro 96. I think they spotted me for the national team, you know, in the qualifiers leading up to that Euro 96, and you know, liked what they saw. They were after a young and talented striker, and they found that guy in me. So I suppose that move just came through, as it always does with moves, so.
Yeah, and
I was happy to sign for Middlesbrough. I had lots of possibilities that summer when I moved. I could have signed in, I think, 25 or 30 different clubs in Europe, but
wow.
I chose Middlesbrough because I had always liked the Premier League, and Brian Robson had always been my hero idol at that time, and so when I could have him as my coach, then I thought that was something really interesting for me to do. That's why I decided to sign for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, and what a crazy period of time it was for Middlesbrough. Of course, they had some superstars playing with them. You played with the likes of Fabrizio Ravanelli, Janino, and Emerson, to name but a few. How was it like to share a dressing room with those guys?
Yeah, it was great. It was a super good time. I played with Gascoigne also. I played with Merson also. I played with Branco. We had lots of big football players at that time. Pallister also. So anyway, it was a good time, very enjoyable time, exciting. We played some great football. It was nice to be part of that team. Lots of memorable experiences, but also, of course, on the negative side, the relegation, the first season, which. In my opinion, should never have been a relegation. But as you remember, we had three points deducted at the end of the season of our tally, points tally, and that was enough for us to go down. So basically, we were relegated on paper, not on the pitch. So.
Yeah, I remember it well. And I mean, that season as well, you reached the FA Cup final as well. Was that?
And also the other.
The League Cup.
Two finals, and then exactly.
Those finals, were they disappointing for you? You couldn't cross the line and win the trophy.
Well, I think especially the one against Leicester, because I mean we were leading 1-0 until the very end of the game when I think Steve Claridge he equalised it wasn't Claridge in that game. I think it was Heskey. But anyway, they equalised in the dying minutes, and then we had to go for a replay at Hillsborough where we ended up losing 1-0, but that one was really the hardest one to lose. The other one against Chelsea, we were basically never really in the game. They were leading after 2 minutes, and then they never looked back after from there. But we should have won that one against Leicester for sure.
Yeah, playing at Wembley, is that something? What was that like? Was it
that was amazing?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean everyone. At that time, that was the most mythical stadium, I think, in the world, and everyone wanted to try and play in there. And I was lucky to play there twice. It was a great experience for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned Brian Robson there, of course. What was he like as a manager to play under?
Yeah, he was a good manager. Of course, he did the things his way, but he always trusted a lot in his players He liked good football, and that was, of course, it was nice to be part of it. But I suppose he had to be judged on the results, and unfortunately we didn't win anything and we got relegated that season. But I liked having him as my manager, and he was very exciting to play under.
Yeah, you mentioned there Paul Gascoigne as well, Mikel. He's a very colourful character. What was it like with him in and around the club when you were there?
Yeah, it was interesting. He attracted a lot of attention for sure. He was a world name, yeah. But he was at the end of his career. So I never really. I didn't play with the best version of Gascoigne. Let's put it this way: you could feel that he was not at the top of his game anymore. But he still showed some glimpses, of course, of what he could do, certainly in trainings and in a few of those games that he played. But it was amazing for me to play with him. As I said, I didn't play with the best version of him.
Yeah, you linked up well, of course, with Paul Merson. You mentioned earlier when you won promotion back into the Premier League. How much fun was it to play alongside him in that season?
Yeah, that was a totally different story because Paul Merson, when I played with him, for me, he was maybe the best version of Paul Merson. So I was lucky to play with the best person, Paul Merson, and we quickly gelled on the pitch and we quickly understood each other, and it was amazing to playing alongside him. I scored a lot of goals. He scored a lot of goals also, and I really enjoyed that partnership.
Yeah, you of course left Middlesbrough in 1999 to join Derby County. Were you disappointed to leave the club, or was it a move that you were quite happy with?
No, I was not happy to leave the club. I had played half a year in the Premier League, playing also alongside Hamilton Rickard, and we had actually started the season very well. But it was just a decision from the club that they brought in some other strikers also, Alan Armstrong, Brian Dean, and they kept bringing players in, Marco Branca also. And in the end, we were too many strikers, and one had to leave. And unfortunately, it was me who had to leave. And as Derby wanted me, basically everyone thought that was the best decision. I would have liked to stay at Middlesbrough because I liked it there. I liked my life there, and I liked playing for that club, but sometimes in football things has to have an end, yeah.
Playing at the Riverside, how much did you enjoy playing in front of the Borough fans at the Riverside?
Well, I mean, at that time when I played there, it was amazing playing in that stadium. For me, that was probably one of the best football stadiums in England. Incredible atmosphere, the whole area buzzing and 100% behind the team and always sell out crowds. And it was an amazing time of being a Middlesbrough player. Today, I haven't actually been back the last couple of years, but I'm not sure if it's the same anymore.
No,
I don't think the people are behind the team as they used to be, and probably not seeing the same kind of exciting games also in the Riverside. But at least I enjoyed my 3.5 years at the club, and it was amazing to play at the Riverside.
It didn't quite work out for you at Derby County. What, do you put that down to any reason at all?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I'm not really a big believer in January moves, and that move was in January. Sometimes it's not super easy to come to a new club. You have to play straight away. Derby had a really good start to the season, but the same week as I signed for the club, Steve McClan left to go to Man United, and I think that changed a lot at the club. I think Steve McClan had played a big role, even though he was only the assistant to Steve Smith, or to Jim Smith. But he played an important role. Apparently, you know, I never had him as an assistant, but at least that was what the players told me. So basically, from I came there, something changed, and the rest of the season was not very good. And I was of course part of that. So I came to a team that just didn't play anymore, didn't play well anymore. And of course, sometimes you need a good team to be good. You know, it's a team sport. So it was basically just a bad timing, a bad time to come to the club. Of course, me alone, I could not really do a lot, you know. So it didn't turn out as the best move.
Yeah. Jim Smith, you mentioned there, he's pretty much an old-school manager. What was he like to play under?
Yeah, I mean, he was different than Brian Robson, of course. He was very old-school I think he probably also wasn't the right manager for me at that time. I think I probably didn't choose the right club with the right manager for me personally. So we didn't really get along super well. to be perfectly honest. So that's how it is.
Yeah, of course. After that, you went to French football, but before that, of course, you played it at Euro 2000. But it was pretty disappointing for Denmark. There was it maybe the end of the road for a number of international players at that tournament, do you think?
Well, it was maybe the end of the road, but it was also a super difficult group we were in.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah,
Czech Republic, France, and Holland. Yeah, I mean. They were three of the best teams in the world at that time, and our team was a little bit, end of the road, as you said. So we never really got going, the group was too difficult for us. Yeah. But it was great, to play in a big tournament like the Euro 2000. It was a good tournament, great stadiums we played in, and I enjoyed it, although the results were not the best.
Yeah, I was going to ask as well, Mikael, when the country won the Euros in 1992, what was the feeling like in Denmark at that time? It must have been a very positive, because I don't think anyone expected Denmark to do so well.
No, of course not. I mean, they weren't even qualified in the first place. But sometimes things turn out differently. I don't think anyone ever thought that Greece could win the European Championships as well. You know, like it's what happens sometimes. You know, sometimes there's just one team during a tournament that just basically has to win that tournament. Maybe it was destiny. I don't know. Denmark came in. Most of the players were on holiday. They were called in last second. No expectations whatsoever to the team, and maybe that helped the team to play better, because there was no expectations, and they just went from game to game. And of course there was also good players in that team. I mean, Brian Laudrup and Flemming Poulsen and whatever they were called at that time was Michael, and we had some good players, of course. But of course it was a big surprise, but then again that's what happens sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly is. Your time in France, you obviously joined Lille. Not much time spent there. You were injured quite a bit of time there as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I played. The first season was fine. I came to a really good club. They had just been promoted, but it was a super professional club, a really good team, and we finished third the first season in France. And then we played Champions League the year after, where we played against Man United, and I think La Coruña and Olympiacos Piraeus. So I had two really good seasons. Then at the start of the third season, I got injured, and basically never came back playing again. So I had two good seasons, but the third one I was only injured all the time. So. And I never got back playing.
Yeah, league on. How did you like that playing in France? I guess it's very different again to what you were used to in England.
It was different, but I enjoyed it. It's always interesting to play in different leagues. You know, learn from different kinds of cultures and ways of playing football. I think the French league is a very difficult league to play in, very competitive and a lot of good players. So I thought it was a very difficult league to come to, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot from playing there. I learned a new language, and that language certainly helps me today in my professional life. It was all good in the end.
Yeah, you mentioned injuries. It sort of hampered you in the later stages of your career. Did it? Was that a disappointment of yours that you couldn't continue playing longer because of the injuries?
Of course, you want to play until 35, 36 if you can. But I had to finish my career when I was only 29. So I think I was too young to stop. And basically, we say between 28 and 32, 33, that's the best years you have as a footballer. So I was, of course, very disappointed that I couldn't continue, but what can I do? You know, this is that's how life is. You know, sometimes you don't really understand it, but sometimes decisions are made for you. You cannot make them themselves.
I mean, no, you're now a football agent, but did you consider maybe going into the coaching side of the game once you retired?
Not really. I, it wasn't really in my mind at that time. I had a few other options, like working for television or working for Nike, which was my sponsor during my career. But I decided to try to become an agent and see how it was, and if it was something I liked. And in the end, it turned out to be the right thing for me, and here I am. Basically 15 years later, and having built up a big company with some of the best players in Europe, I'm really happy with my decision to become an agent.
Yeah, I was going to ask that about the agency side of things, Mikel. What was it like going into boardrooms and doing deals and helping players? Is it something that you guess you really enjoy and you really take to?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it felt natural to go in and have meetings like this. It just felt natural, and I just got on with it, and basically just went, you know, from there. And you know how it is in life. Nothing is easy, but hard work pays off, and I kept working hard to build something important up, and I have managed to do it. So of course I'm very proud of this, but life continues, and you have to keep being very ambitious and very hardworking, and if you make sure to be that, then you can have a long career.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, is a game changed? You know, being an agent now, is a game changed a lot since you were a player? Now that you're an agent.
Well, I think there's more games today, you know, and the Champions League has become more and more important. There's also more money involved. Salaries are crazy today compared to when I played.
Yeah.
So there has been some changes for sure, you know.
In terms of players that you played with and against, Mikel, I mean, who's the best player would you say that you played with and the toughest opponent would you say over the course of your career?
I think I played with some amazing football players.
Yeah.
Of course, the obvious ones has to be the Lauter brothers, Juninho, Merson. I have to mention them for sure. The hardest opponent, I think I would have to go with Desailly. I thought he was incredible at that time when I played. I thought he had everything. He was quick. He was strong. He was tall. He was he could jump high. He had a good technique. I think he was probably the hardest I ever played against. Mm-hmm. But I played against many, many hard defenders. But if I had to choose one, it would probably have to be him.
Yeah, he was a pretty decent defender in his day.
Sure.
Excellent. Well, Mikel, I think that'll do us here. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
Well, that was episode 11 of the Talking Football podcast with Mikel Beck. Thanks for listening, and make sure you subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. You can reach us on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud and Podbean. Just type Talking Football into the search function. Remember, you can also keep up to date with us on our Twitter page. We're at Talking_Football, and we're also on Facebook as well. Until next week, bye for now.